Our gospel for this Sunday comes from the 10th chapter of John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in prayer. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was here. Oops, I've lost my slides on here. Is there somebody up there who can help? Ah, hang on. Oh, there they are. They don't teach you technology in seminary, I'm just saying. But I'm learning. So I want to thank you again for welcoming me and my husband Martin here last night for the pig roast again. In fact, it was a couple months ago, he came to me and he goes, isn't it time for Lord of Life's pig roast? Don't you need to call Pastor Gary? And I said, okay, I will. So here we are. And a chance to reconnect with some of you and to tell you again what is going on in our life down in St. Bernard Parish. And I love that the theme is this hospitality and this embracing, because I think that's so important. Now, I also want to talk about listening, because I think listening is so important. I don't know if you can read this, but it says, "I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore." Our lives get so busy with so much stuff, so much noise surrounding us, that sometimes it is really hard to hear what Jesus is saying. And if we can't hear what Jesus is saying, it makes it almost impossible for us to welcome or to embrace. So last year I was here, and I talked about some of the things we were doing down there. So some of this is going to be a little update about it, but also some new things, and there's not time to tell you everything. But last year I told you a little bit about Larry's Turkeys. And if you don't remember Larry's Turkeys, I'll give you a little bit of a rundown. I was talking in one sermon about hunger, and about families who need hunger, whose food stamps or their SNAP money or whatever it's called doesn't quite make it to the end of the month. And before church was over, this back pew of our sanctuary, which is called the Sinner's Pew, and I did not name it that. They call themselves that. I'm not arguing with them, but that's what it's called. But the people in the Sinner's Pew had decided that, well, Larry, who this is named after, said, "Well, I can get turkeys," and somebody said, "Well, I can get dessert, and I can get blah, 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 blah." And by the end of church, they had a plan. Without a meeting, without even talking to me, it was wonderful. And in the last 18 months or so since this has been going, we have fed dozens and dozens of families, not just at holidays, but often at the end of the month when families might be going hungry. Now, that is all awesome and a very, very good thing. But then we started listening again to God. And what we discovered is that, I don't know if this happens in the Woodlands, because you're in a very different socioeconomic class than we are, but often kids in our schools go home with a backpack over the weekend that has food in it so that the kids can eat over the weekend. Teachers have discovered that if a child hasn't eaten since lunch on Friday, their behavior on Monday morning is atrocious because they can't concentrate because they're so hungry. So this program was designed to get these children fed over the weekend so that when they came back to school, they could learn. Well, we found out that this program is being eliminated, which means that about 70% of our kids are going to go hungry over the weekend. And we're like, that's just awful. And I mentioned it in the sermon. Again, that's all I did. And that same group of people back in the sinner's pew, by the time church was over, had another plan. Some of them worked for the schools and said, well, there is room in my school upstairs, and we can put the food up there, and then we can figure out volunteers to get it shipped here and there. And in the last couple of weeks, they have contacted the school board, they have contacted the other schools, and all of a sudden, we may have a plan to feed these kids when school starts next year, so that they can learn, so that they can go on and become strong adults, and they can go on and get jobs, and can go on and lead healthy, productive lives. So see, sometimes we extend hospitality to angels without even knowing it. And we welcome people with bread and food and sometimes a backpack. Now, one of the things we talked about last year when I was here was Rowley Alternative School. Now, Rowley Alternative School, these aren't students there. Rowley Alternative School is the place where students go when there's no place else for them in the district. They have been kicked out of every other school, either for grades or behavior or you name it, all sorts of things. But this is sort of the last chance saloon for these kids. And we got involved in this mostly because my husband started tutoring a couple of the boys over there. And then we got to know the staff and we got to know them a little bit better. And so when it was God's work, our hands Sunday, this group, there was about 30 of us, which for a church our size, that's a lot of people. We went over there, we organized some classrooms, we cleaned things out, we got it so the teachers had work areas and things were organized. There wasn't math and English and science all together in one pile. It was separated. And we thought, well, that's good, we did a good job. And then we thought, well, we're gonna decorate their cafeteria for Christmas. Won't that be wonderful? And we did, and it was beautiful, and it was all lovely. But then we started listening again to what was really needed over there. And it wasn't so much about decoration. It was about finding out that a lot of these kids don't have the uniforms they need. And if they have the uniforms, they may not have the underwear to go under them. Or they may not have the toiletries we need. And we're talking about high school kids, especially high school boys, who need deodorant. I've had to, I know that. We have learned that hospitality means maybe food or bed or a uniform or underwear or toiletries. But we had to listen and we had to realize it wasn't about what we wanted, but what about what they need. Now, as some of you may know, last August was the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And I have to tell you, a lot of people are really sick to death of talking about it. A lot of people are sick to death about talking about it. But it is still a reality. And if you come to Gethsemane sometime and you're talking with the people there, I would be willing to bet that you will not get through your conversation without somebody bringing it up in some form. It's just right there. But 10 years ago when this happened, some people came from up north, Pennsylvania and Rhode Island, I believe, and they started this little community center in St. Bernard to help handle all the money that was coming in. They became a place that was feeding people and clothing people. They became a place where people could come and just sit to get away from their moldy, stinky, muddy, awful house. It became a place where community happened. And that was awesome. They did such good work. But now it's been 10 years, and we aren't the same community anymore. And the money isn't coming in anymore like it used to. There have been other disasters. There have been other horrible things happening in our country and around the world. But this community center, which is still trying to feed and clothe people, was failing. And I got a call this summer going, Pastor, I don't know if you know this, but the community center is about to close, and it can't close. We need it. So all of a sudden, we were seeing if we could resurrect this place. We ended up with four people from Gethsemane Lutheran Church on the new board of directors. The Catholics think we're trying to take over, but we're really not. But we've had to close. We have no money, and no money's coming in. In fact, we owe about $10,000 still. Now, this is sad in many ways, because people depended on this center for food and clothing, especially, and for a place they could have internet access to file for a job or for food stamps or for all these things. But we have had to really listen to what's going on here, and we have decided that we had to close and start anew. It needed to be resurrected from what it was. And we are listening very closely to the people, but also to God, about what needs to happen. Because the words still keep ringing in our ears, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, welcome my sheep, be hospitable to my sheep, embrace my sheep. And how are we going to do that? Right now, we're really not sure how we're going to do that. But considering that about 70 to 80%, I'm really bad with numbers. My husband's shaking his head, so I must be close. 70 to 80% of St. Bernard Parish falls into what the United Way is now calling ALICE people. Have you ever heard of ALICE? ALICE, they had to work really hard on this acronym, but it stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. It's a big fancy word for the working poor. It's for the people who might have four jobs trying to make ends meet. They might have to live an hour away from their job because they can't afford to live closer. Lots and lots of impacts in this group of people, which is growing. How are we going to address these 70 or 80% of people who need help in our parish where we have so little income? So we need prayers, and we need to hear what God is going to say and how God is going to guide us into a new place for this community center. Not going to be easy. Oh, there we go. Now, another thing that's happened since last time I was here is that the political scene has really heated up with the political debates and all the people running for president, right? Has anybody avoided hearing any of that? Well, I don't know if you remember, but back during Advent, there were some particularly awful things being said about Muslims. And it just broke my heart that these allegedly Christian people were saying these awful, ignorant things about Muslims. And I thought, we have to at least let the Muslims living in our community know that not all Christians are idiots. Some of us are, I will give you that, but we are not all idiots. So I asked some of the people in the church, I said, do you know any of the Muslims in our community? And they're all like, well, yeah. They work at the school, they work at the bank, they work, you know, they're just like normal people. Can you pick the Muslims out of that picture? There's two. That helps. And it's not me, by the way. So that gives you one free one. Hard to tell, because they're just people. So we invited them to come and meet with our church council, to have a little bit of time with them. And basically what we did was listen to them, and listen to the heartache, to listen to the discrimination and the prejudice, to listen to the awful things people say to them. It was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. So, but these two being who they are, you know, it's Advent, and they knew that. The one of them, actually, I'll give you a hint. The woman in the red shirt in the front, Apha, she is so into Christmas, you cannot believe it. I mean, her desk at the school is totally Christmas-oriented. She said, well, it's time for your Christmas celebration. You know, we're going to bring you food. And we're like, no, we've invited you. We'll have the food. No. So they brought us homemade baklava. So we made them Lutherans right there on the spot. It's like, if you're going to bring us food like that, you can be one of us. And they came and they talked. One of our people invited them to our Easter breakfast. They didn't want to come to church, but we said, well, come afterwards. We're just going to eat and hang around and do an Easter egg hunt. And they were going to come, except they ended up in the urgent care that morning. But we needed to find a way to coexist. Because that's part of what hospitality is. And what embracing is God sends you all sorts of people that you maybe want to kind of go, oh, no, thank you. I don't want to embrace them. But God says, no, these are all my children. These two are going to come and help us learn about Islam this summer so that we will no longer be ignorant about Islam, and that we can reach out to not only our Muslim brothers and sisters in St. Bernard Parish, but also the couple of Jewish people who live there, and the few Protestants that are making a stand, and to the Catholics. We have to coexist. God is telling us that we need to live together. We have to listen to what God is saying. And I found this handy dandy little chart. My spiritual director is always talking to me about what I'm thinking, and she's saying, you know, that isn't something God is telling you. When I'm telling her how I think I'm a worthless pastor or I'm bad at this or whatever, she said, that is not from God. So think about this. If a voice rushes you, or pushes you, or frightens you, or confuses you, or discourages you, or worries you, obsesses you, or condemns you, that voice is not the shepherd's voice. Now, you can choose to call it an evil spirit, or this, or Satan, or the devil, or whatever you want to call it, but that voice is not from God. When you hear God's voice, this is what happens. It stills you. It leads you, it reassures you, it enlightens you, encourages you, comforts you, calms you, convicts you. There's a difference. We need to listen for the voice of our shepherd. We need to hear that voice. And when we do hear that voice, welcoming and embracing becomes like breathing. When we hear those other words, that other voice, welcoming and hospitality is not possible. But when we hear that voice, now some of you have maybe actually heard the voice of God. I hear from more and more people that they have heard God's voice. And I actually believe that I have. But that doesn't matter if you don't think you've heard it. You can hear God's voice, the shepherd's voice, through scripture, through song, through reading, through being with a friend. God's voice can appear anywhere. We just have to listen. Because when we listen, it is powerful, it is life-changing. It gives us the courage to embrace each other. It gives us the ability to feed and to shelter and to listen and to love. Hearing the voice of the shepherd has made all the difference at Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Chalmette, Louisiana. And I believe the same thing happens here. Hearing God's voice has kept us adapting to the changing needs of the people we are called to serve. It's challenged us to make hard decisions that have maybe made us unpopular with some people, but they were decisions that needed to be made. Hearing God's voice has helped us to take the harder path, because nobody said being a Christian or a follower of Jesus would be easy. But by listening, we can humbly pray the prayer that I found in your literature, which is so wonderful. So please pray with me. Dear God, we prayerfully usher in those visiting our homes, our church, our communities. May they experience your gracious love through our words and actions. Amen.